thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is there anything new on Gronkowski before I get into the other items on the table?
Well, there's been like a little bit of a tweet update, right? Jimmy Stewart and Murray, you guys are a little more in tune with this than I am.
What's the tweet update, Stu? If you're able to do it, because it's, again, it's related to the wrestling world, correct?
Mojo Rawley chimed in last night around 11:30 on Twitter, and he said he responded to Gronk's clueless tweet and said, "Hey, call me."
No, it's just a straight-up troll job is what it is.
So now they're just jerking us around,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, they're like best buddies. They have each other's phone numbers. They can send a text. Now they know that they have the social media world and us idiots in sports radio, you know, going nuts about this. Is Gronk going to retire? What's going on? Is he mocking Ian Rappaport and what he was reporting yesterday? And so Mojo Rawley takes to Twitter, "Hey, pal, call me. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge." This is where it was like, okay, all right, now they're just goofing around. Which I didn't like because I want to buy into some of this stuff.
Well, I mean, don't you love it? I mean,
oh, no, it's funny. I mean, good for them. But
I mean, is it kind of fun at this stage?
Sure, yeah. Look, I told you, you know, to me, with Gronk, I'm not believing anything about him playing for the Patriots next year until I hear it from him.
Well, that part I'm with you.
Like, and so they are, there's no doubt that they're definitely yanking people around. The question is it real or not? Are they yanking people because there's something coming, or are they yanking people just because they want to screw with them? And at the end of the day, you know, they're trying to hype the WWE for who knows when. But Gronk's going to play for the Patriots this year.
So you know, I've told you, I've been more on the side of he's retiring, 60-40, 60%, 40. You know, but the more this goes on, the more I'm coming back to the fact that he's coming back. Because if he was really going to leave, he would just go. Like, why drag it out? Why jerk people around? Why play the game? If you're walking away, you're walking away. Just walk away. Well, I mean, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, but and it was Mark Daniels yesterday, too, that tweeted, you know, Gronk is basically on the same schedule he's always been on. He's continuing to work out, but he could be working out to go into the WWE. Still, he would have to use his physicality for that job. So until I hear that he's going to be back and I see him in training camp or they rip up this deal and give him a new deal, I'm with Maz. I'll believe it when he's back because I still think that he's trying to keep an open mind about this, because unless he gets a new deal and he's making the money like some of the, you know, the top wide receiver in the game, like Julio Jones or Antonio Brown, I wouldn't blame him if he walked. I still think that's on the table.
I mean, maybe he's waiting because he wants the Patriots to come up. Maybe that's why he hasn't walked.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, if he's still playing that game, then his desire is to return. He's just trying to get the best number.
Right, right.
If he's really walking away and making a change, then walk away. Walk your ass away right now.
Sure.
So the longer it goes, the more I think I'll come back to the middle and saying he's playing a game. I mean, I've always felt his opportunities off the field are real, and all this stuff is real. I'll still say that. But if he's really going to walk away, then he would just walk away. You have a press conference, announce your retirement, and off you go. So every day that goes on that doesn't happen, I think I got to come closer to the fact that he's playing around. It's sure entertaining. I still like it. And I think the whole dynamic, even if he's not walking away, he's still going to wrestle, presumably, and I can't believe he has team approval to go do that. And this whole dynamic of, you know, is he allowed to go wrestle, and was he allowed to go wrestle last year, and he did it anyway, and is he doing the same thing this year, and ties in again with the Mark Daniels story where the team told Mark Daniels, you can't do that story on Gronk's diet and trainer. And Gronk said, let's go ahead and do it anyway, like all that. Like, I like that little interplay. And the storm clouds that still seem to be down there, I don't feel those have dissipated. So I still think there's plenty to monitor here with this story. But anyway, so there's your Gronk update. Jimmy, you can release the phone. So we're going to start football, 617-779-0985. I like Jeff Howe's story today in the Boston Herald. And that's where I really want to start. Malcolm Butler has his foot out the door, right? Both feet out the door. He's gone. Malcolm Butler's gone. All right? If you make just a few moves, you'll have a lot of space under the cap. And so you have a need at corner. You have cap space to fill that need. And you got some heavy hitters who are going to be out on the market. And Jeff Howe writes about two of them. He says the Patriots should focus on a couple of power hitters to replace outgoing cornerback Malcolm Butler. And suffice it to say, two of the most intriguing corners in the NFL have their eye on the Patriots. For now, he says, Richard Sherman is a Seahawk and Aqib Talib is a Bronco. And the Pats can't do anything about that. But there's an understanding in league circles that both could become available at some point this offseason. Seattle has yet to inform Sherman if he is in the plans for next season, in their plans, meaning. According to a source, however, the theory there is the team could await Sherman's ability to recover from a ruptured Achilles and pass a physical, which would open the door for trade discussions. If they are unable to trade Sherman, it's possible the Seahawks would release him. Last offseason, the Pats did call the Seahawks about Sherman, who turns 30 at the end of this month. But the trade interest was brief. Sherman was receptive to the idea of joining the Patriots then, and still is now, if Seattle goes in another direction, according to a source. Meanwhile, Denver hasn't announced its plans for Tlaib, who loved his time with the Patriots, but will reportedly look into trading him. The execution of a trade appears unlikely given Tlaib's $11 million base salary in 2018. He's 32 years old. There's no way he's getting traded. This is me talking. There's no way he's getting traded. He's going to get released. No one's going to pick up that salary, and including Denver. And the league knows it's going to wait for him to get released.
Oh, he already knows, too. He tweeted about it yesterday with the eyeball emoji. It says, who coming to get me?
Keep Tlaib. Who coming to get me?
Yeah.
All right.
In his case, the whole hood want him.
Yeah.
So I want him.
Me too.
So do I. How could you not want him?
I want Richard Sherman.
So I'd take either one, but if you're asking me to prioritize, like, again, why would I say no to either one of those guys? Of course! Yes, I love them both. I love the attitude that they play the position with. But if I have to pick number one, who I'm taking first? Tlaib. For two reasons. One, he's been here. He's sort of, you know, so there is some familiarity there, which to me you already know about. Secondly, he's a badass, man. And I'm not saying the other guy isn't, but I just think Tlaib is, I think he's a competitor. And I'm, again, so is Sherman. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to besmirch Sherman in any way, but Tlaib's wildly entertaining, and he's a badass.
I mean, either guy would bring a much-needed swagger and toughness to that secondary, which they desperately need. But of the two, I'm with Mass. It's Tlaib. He knows the system. And the injuries with Sherman, to me, are a concern. Ruptured Achilles. He's had a knee thing. I know he's 3 years younger, but...
So let's just say, assuming good health.
Yeah, I'd still want Tlaib.
I'm Sherman. And part of it is the talk show host in me. I mean, both would be fabulous, right?
You can't go wrong.
No, both move the needle. Both move the needle. Sherman, I think, has a whole nother... Sherman has a whole nother layer to him and level to him. And so does Tlaib, except Tlaib's other layer and level is dirty. You know, like, he'll go off and shoot himself in the leg and then tell...
Well, the chain-snatching thing with Michael Crabtree.
So there's that. But then, again, I mean, Tlaib shot himself in the leg and then told the cops the next day I was too drunk to remember what happened.
No, Tlaib's crazy.
I mean, you know how drunk you got to be?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, Tlaib keeps it real. That's the thing.
If I shot myself that night in Minneapolis, I think I'd be able to remember it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
he was that blotto that he shot himself and said he doesn't remember what happened. That's how... That's how ham-boned. So, I mean, Tlaib has a whole nother, but his side's darker, and, like, he's for real, man. Sherman has this whole thing where, you know, yeah, he's out to save the world, for just, you know, lack of a better term, off the field. And so that intrigues me because I think you get in all sorts of mess here. You know, you get into all sorts of messy stuff here, which I would welcome as a talk show host. But I just think it'd be entertaining to see Bill Belichick work with Richard Sherman. Like, that's just... I mean, there's something about that appeals to me. Just two giant personalities and big egos, and, you know, Sherman is one of the great players of his generation, and Bill's the greatest ever, and it's like, just that marriage and that working relationship, I think it would be fascinating to see how those two work together. How much Bill comes to Sherman, meaning how much does he allow of Sherman to be Sherman, and how much does Sherman tone down his act? Because he has to. He's a Patriot now. And will Sherman subjugate himself to the greater good of the Patriots? And will Bill budge and let Sherman be just a little bit of, you know, all those things. Like, I just, and then on the field, the whole thing too. I mean, I think Sherman's a better player. I think Sherman's a better player than Tlaib.
See, I think right now, I think since he got to Denver, I think Tlaib's been the better player. I think you could argue Tlaib's been the best corner in the league. Now, again, we're splitting hairs, right? But I just think, I don't know, man, something about Tlaib that just has won me over. He's a battler, and he is. He's dirty. He's crazy. There's no two ways about it. All of that. I just think he fights. He is a complete nut, and they could use a little bit of crazy on this team. They could.
So I would take here to me is the bottom line. They should be in the market for this kind of stuff, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, you've gone all in on Brady. You've purposely you know,
this is why the Peters news from the other day bothered me.
So you have purposely shortened your window. You've purposely put, you know, more eggs in a short term basket, and so now follow through on it. Go ahead. You don't have a 10-year plan anymore. This is about winning in the next 3 years. I mean, the cliche we've talked about over and over and over again about maximizing Brady's window. Now it's real. Now it's like a real tangible thing. And you're just in this sort of place here where you're talking about how many more rings can you get. And so every year you should be looking to pluck that Darrell Revis or that, you know, you name it. Just pluck that guy and plug him in. Give the guy a chance to rehab his career, one-year deal, incentives, let him go get his money next year. And you should just be doing this every year. And you should be damn straight you should be in that market for Richard Sherman or Aqib Talib or someone like that. And then there's another one. Isn't Josh Norman supposed to be no guarantee to return to the Redskins? And there's another one for you.
I haven't seen that. The other one that was intriguing to me was Tyrann Mathieu, who Arizona's reporting.
The Honey Badger.
Oh, I love him. He's a ball hawk.
Okay.
I'm more of a safety than a corner, but still.
I put him in a different class. But these are the guys you should be in on.
Absolutely. It's like Denver at the end with Manning.
Absolutely. Exactly what that is.
You know, go get the horses. I'm telling you, Talib, the thing that always worried me about Talib was the ability to stay on the field. But you realize in Denver he played 15, 15, 13, and 15 games. Like, for him, that's pretty good.
He's been healthier than Sherman the last couple of years.
And for all I know, there's got to be a suspension in there somewhere, right? Like, there's no way he missed those for health reasons. There's got to be some, you know, the Crabtree thing was a suspension, right?
Right,
so that's
right.
The only game he missed that year. Like, there got to be others in there. There's no way, you know, there's no way he gets suspended for one game in 4 years. There got to be other ones in there.
Okay, we're starting Patriots. Your thoughts. You're all loaded up as usual. We'll get right to you after these words.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Let's send you down to the field and Aaron Edwards.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you.
Jimmy, cue up Talib for me, if you will, in the locker room. Do you want that? Do you want that, or do you want this?
It was a dirty play by a sorry player. He don't do nothing. He come to the game, don't catch no passes. He come to the game to chop guys from the back. And he got the same agent as me. So when I see his ass in Atlanta, I'm going to beat his ass.
With a play like that, you saw this go down, and it turned out bad, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
I'm sure that really irritated
him. Yeah, it don't matter how it went. He tried to do something dirty, so that's why I'm going to beat his ass.
I think Aqib Talib is a treasure. I think he's one of the most entertaining people in the NFL, if not of all of sports. They're both great, but I want the latter. I love Aqib Talib.
Like, Sherman is loud. Sherman's brash. Talib's crazy.
No. Talib's legit.
He's crazy.
Talib is legit.
He is certifiably crazy, man. He is, which is probably why the Patriots won't go that route again, because like you said.
No, Bill loves him. Anytime you hear Zoe talk about him, when they face off against each other since he's been in Denver, he goes and talks to him. He spends time with him. That's one of Bill's guys.
The Pats would not be afraid of Aqib Talib.
I just think, but there is the risk with him, as you noted, of always blowing your own leg off.
Yeah, like, no, right. I mean, you
know, like, so, I don't think Sherman comes with that risk.
It doesn't. Aqib Talib's back in town, honey. Lock the doors.
Tape the windows.
Roll them up. Talib's in town. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's got an inherent need to keep it real.
No.
Gas up the generator.
Exactly. It's like, lock up the women and children. Here comes Talib. He's back. You know? So it's like that's not Sherman. Sherman is a whole nother thing. But, I mean, to me what stands out is that the Patriots, they're at this place. They're at this place, and they have been for a couple of years, okay? And the Revis thing is the perfect kind of move for them to be making. And you may have a Talib out there. You may have a Richard Sherman out there. You may have a Josh Norman out there. And I'm hoping the reason they weren't in on Marcus Peters is because maybe they got something else in their back pocket, Murray. And that's just that position. They should be in the market for this kind of move because this is where they've put themselves. It's all about the now. And... Boy,
what'll bug me though is if they
Talib and Gilmore, I love that tandem.
So say they make a trade, you know, with Denver hypothetically, and the comp is essentially what, you know, just went for Marcus Peters. It's a 4 and a 2. I'd rather the younger guy. Marcus Peters is 25 years old.
You won't need to trade for Talib. He's going to be released. He has a $11 million salary. Again, cap hit doesn't even matter. $11 million in real money, and he's 32. He's not getting that anywhere. He's not getting that here in Denver anywhere. So they're going to have to release him. And you just have to outbid everybody and, you know, convince them to come back. Brian in Fitchburg, let's lead off with some calls. Go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
3 weeks ago, we sat and we watched Walter on the sidelines with his arms crossed, look at Butler, and say, damn you, you're not going out there. I'm going to win the Super Bowl with my bucket of crap. Now you guys think that Aqib Talib is coming here? Next year, the corner opposite Gilmore is either going to be Jonathan Jones or Miley Cyrus Jones.
Miley Cyrus is going to come in like a wrecking ball. That guy, don't tell me that that's what they're going to do.
Oh, God.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
I mean, there's no way they
cut bait with that kid, too. You blew it, Cyrus Jones.
Well, look, if there's any role for those guys, don't you think it's like as a third corner in the slot? Like, you know, they and maybe even with some help on occasion. Like, they can't realistically think both of those guys could be on the field at the same time.
Here's all I'm saying. To bring back Tom Brady and to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, it makes no sense to have a starting corner be someone like Miley Cyrus Jones or Jonathan Jones when a real player is out there. If you were you know, going for the next 10 years with Garoppolo, as you normally do, like if it was regular operating procedure, you're thinking about the next 10 years and what's best for the franchise over the next 10 years, then you draft, you develop, you don't put it all in this year, and you take your time and you save your money and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the path they chose. So if you're going to do this and front load everything and maximize everything in the next couple of years, and a guy like Talib or Sherman or Josh Norman or something like this is going to be out there, then that's what you have to do. Period. That's what you have. Do not give me Jonathan Jones. I like in the slot is a nice developmental player. Don't give him to me as a starting outside corner, please.
Oh my gosh, the idea of having Talib and Gilmore at the corners, those two guys. Now you're talking about the kind of corners that Denver had there for a time, you know, between Talib and Chris Harris. Like, I'm in with that. I love that idea.
Wallace in the van. What do you got, Wallace, on the Patriots?
You know, last Super Bowl, the defense was dog food, and underdog Eagles ate it up. And we definitely need to revamp the defense. But I think the number one contributor to why we lost and the number one contributor to the risk in the Patriot way was the loss of Julian Edelman. If you remember 2 years back, Rex Ryan posed as a reporter and called into Julian and asked him, are you going to play quarterback for us this year, for this game? And Julian answered with the best quote I've ever heard in my life. He said, I'll bring a stand, a glass of water, if it helps my team win. And I think that leadership being lost is the reason why, not just his play, but his leadership being lost is the reason why we lost the Super Bowl. And I'd like your thoughts on that, guy.
Okay. And that was Walt Patulski with the question, by the way.
So, look, they may have missed him in the locker room. They probably did miss Edelman's intangibles. I didn't think that's where he was going. They still scored 30-whatever points in the Super Bowl.
It's hard to blame anything on offense as being an issue for the Patriots at the end. It really is.
And the other thing is, realistically, in the locker room, what can he do for the defense? Because I'm not saying there's total separation there, but I think that those two units sort of operate independently. You'd know better than I. But to me, that defense was a mess. So you want to go get another corner to replace Butler, I'm in, and rebuild the linebacking core. You know, that to me, those two things have to be done on defense. Have to be. And in fact, the linebacking core may be more important ultimately, but whatever. The offensive side of the ball, there's not a lot there that they need to mess with, but another corner and linebackers they need.
We're starting with football, folks. Your thoughts. Emilio in Rhode Island, what are yours?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, yeah, I do agree that I think Talib has some Rodney Harrison-esque qualities to him, and I'd love to see that. Like Amaz was saying, that he brings that badassness, and you're familiar with the guy, and you didn't really have many episodes with him. So, you know, there's a little bit more of a criminal element, sort of, but with Sherman, it's loud, it's brash. You're dealing with an obnoxious guy, sort of. You don't know how he's going to handle it, and you're already had locker room issues. And that guy, you know, Sherman is a locker room problem, and I don't really see Talib. You know, the last quote you guys played was him sticking up for another teammate.
So, has Sherman been a locker room problem?
See, I don't think so. No.
I mean, I think he's, you know, become a thorn in the side of Carroll and the, you know, the team over there.
Weren't the issues here that they had in the locker room, wasn't that Marshawn Lynch and Wilson? Right? They had some
right,
friction.
Wilson wasn't black enough or something.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Like that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like Sherman was necessarily a part of that. And look, I think that they both bring some identity to the defense. I just think that Talib is more physical. And look, I think Sherman's probably better in run support. Like, but to me, as a cover guy, I think straight man-to-man, I think Tlaib's better.
Look,
he will hand fight, man. It's him hand-to-hand combat with that guy.
Don't act, you know, Tlaib and Rodney Harris, that's a bad comparison. Tlaib and Richard Sherman are high maintenance, man. Rodney was not high maintenance. He just had a reputation. He was not high maintenance in that locker room. He was a football player. Tlaib, and again, I this was stuck in my head, and I just went and I looked it up. You know, I'm just reading here. January 23rd, report. Tlaib caused locker room turmoil after Ward's release. And here's the story. Again, this is from, this is picked up from, I don't even know. This is all over the place. CBS Sports. Reasons other than money could facilitate a divorce between the Broncos and Pro Bowl corner Aqib Tlaib. Sources tell WalterFootball.com. Oh, sorry, whatever the hell that is.
No, it's been out there a while, apparently. I just found this out the other day myself. Keep going.
I'll just go with it. Sources tell this publication that Tlaib spent lots of time complaining about the Broncos' decision to release respected veteran safety T.J. Ward last summer, so much so that it created turmoil in the locker room throughout the season. The outlet claims fellow defensive back Chris Harris Jr. joined Tlaib in airing their grievances. Harris, unlike Tlaib, also went public on multiple occasions, asserting that Ward's departure affected Denver's vaunted secondary, blah, 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 blah. So, look, I think both you're going to take on the risk of issues. It's just that it comes to the territory with that kind of player.
Sherman second guessed the coaching staff, for crying out loud. Right after that, he was still going after Daryl Bevel and Pete when they threw the ball in the regular season the year after.
Exactly. He's like, where was that? Where was that in the Super Bowl?
I mean, so, you know, it's you're going to get outspoken, you know, outspokenness both ways with those guys. Again, I think that's a given. If you're attacking that kind of player, you're probably going to get some of that with Norman, for crying out loud. Because he's got some attitude there, too. They could use some attitude, though.
No question.
Especially on defense, they could use attitude.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupon-to-coupon. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 Sports Hub.
I just want to weigh in on this. We haven't touched on this yet, but it's interesting to see how this has all played out in hindsight. And what I'm talking about is the Papa John's sponsorship with the NFL. Isn't it fascinating how this is all turned on Papa John's? So remember, just to reset, and this ties in with Jerry Jones, big time. During the Anthem protest last year, his name's Shatner, or I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, John Schnatter, who is the Papa, that's Papa John.
That's John.
Okay, that's Papa John. The CEO and the founder of Papa John's Pizza, John Schnatter, came out and said that he thought that the kneeling and the protests was directly related to Papa John's drop in sales.
Correct.
Because Papa John's was so tightly aligned with the NFL and that people were getting turned off by the NFL that it was causing sales declines. And he went and he said that publicly and talked about how basically the thing should have been nipped in the bud a long time ago. Okay, he says the NFL has hurt us by not resolving the current debacle to the players and owner satisfaction, Schnatter said. Leadership starts at the top, and this is an example of poor leadership. NFL leadership has hurt Papa John's shareholders. So, you know who's a big shareholder or a big franchisee in Papa John's and is tightly aligned?
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones, who is at war with Roger Goodell.
Right. So the theory was at the time, or one of the theories at the time, was that Jones had sort of put Papa John up to it to throw this in the lap of Goodell and to put more heat on Goodell this way by getting corporate sponsors to question his leadership.
He's also, and Schnatter's also is a ardent right-winger, okay? So it's obviously there's political undertones there as well for Schnatter to stand out against the protests. And so at the time, again, you hear it a lot from the people on the right, see, NFL business is going, people are turning off the league, see, they're losing business because of this. You know what happened instead? Papa John's sales went down further. Schnatter had to step aside as CEO at the beginning of the new year. And just last week, the NFL and Papa John's broke up. About 35 seconds later, Pizza Hut came in, paid the NFL more than they were getting from Papa John's with a longer term. And now the NFL is going forward with a new pizza sponsor for more money and a longer term. Schnatter's out. Papa John's is down. And Jerry Jones may be on the hook for a couple million dollars in legal fees for busting the league's balls.
I'm telling you, I honestly think they're getting ready to leverage Jones and try to get him out of the league.
Isn't that great the way that all turned out?
Yes, that I think that awesome. I think that's the direction this thing is headed
in. Scales of justice, Murray.
Of course, absolutely. Jones is getting everything he deserves. Please, that guy's a clown. Complete, total clown the way he has acted. And so, you know, he wants to sit there on the one hand and, you know, tell Robert Kraft to take your medicine. And then it happens to him, and he acts like a two-year-old and tries to leverage the commissioner out of there. And again, this is why Kraft ultimately stood down. Because Kraft recognized you can't fight City Hall. I take on the league, I'm going to piss off the other 31 owners, and eventually they're going to do to me what they're doing to Jerry Jones. It feels to me like they are angling towards leveraging him out of the league. I don't know if they can do that or not.
But the whole piece, too, of Papa John's trying to leverage the league, and it turns out the public was more against Schnatter than they were for him. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. That part I love. Like, all those nuts are like, see, we're taking the NFL down because I stopped watching Dirk and Durr. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
No.
Actually, they made out.
Yeah.
Now, Roger wins again. Roger wins again. How does his ass taste? Here in New England, you know.
very gingery.
But smoky. A smoky ginger sort of.
I would say kind of tart
combination. So for Schnatter and that whole crew on that side, how does his ass taste? Because you lost a sponsorship. They got a better one. Your sales are down. Your CEO is out. And Jerry Jones may be on the hook for these legal fees for busting the league's balls. Isn't that fascinating how that all turned out?
Yes, of course. I mean, again, meanwhile, Pizza Hut's, you know, stuffing its crust all the way to the bank. Like, seriously, they got a stuffed crust over this one, no question about it.
All right, so that was just one NFL story that I did want to get to. Let's go back to your phones. Leonard in Boston, what do you got for me on the NFL?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Maz. First time caller, long time listener. Thanks for taking my call. So it's a story about basically the Cleveland Browns willing to give up their number one pick. I'm not sure if you heard the story, but John Dorsey on the combine said that he's willing to give up the first round pick. He said, quote, give me a call and see what's up. And he says also.
Well, so let me just stop you. If they're going to pull a Danny Ainge and take the player at three, that's the best player on the board and get something from moving from one to three and still getting the best guy?
Sure.
Then that's brilliant. What's your faith in the leadership there in Cleveland having that sort of acumen to do that?
Zero.
None.
Zippo.
Baseball boy's still there, right?
I think so, as far as I know.
Then I don't have the confidence.
Yeah, you know, and they could get a lot just from moving down a couple of spots. You know, that gets back to the whole RG3 Andrew Luck draft, right?
Three firsts, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, St. Louis got an absurd amount in that one,
I think they got three firsts.
It sounds right. Like, you know, so to me, they could Cleveland could totally do it that way. Cleveland's damn no matter what they do.
But they should.
Because do you have any faith in their ability to identify the next quarterback?
Hell no, that's the whole point. Danny Ainge can move from one to three because he's smart. And he knows who can play and who can't play. If you're Cleveland, can you afford to play that game?
I think they can this year because if you look at the top 10, there's teams that are already set with quarterback. Indianapolis is, Tampa is, Oakland is, the Niners obviously are now.
So what's your point?
They could drop out of one, end up around three or six, where the Jets are, if they're in love with Darnold or whoever it is at the top. They can end up at six and still end up with a quarterback that they really like.
Okay, right. The key is that guy that's going to be there at six is going to be better than the guy that's there at one. That's the whole point.
I know, but I still think a lot of these guys are just if they don't love these guys, I don't blame them. I don't.
It all comes down to knowing who can play and who can't play and having the nerve to go against the grain. And Danny Ainge obviously has that thing in him. And he has the ability to back it up. Cleveland, if I'm a Browns fan, don't screw with this because you don't have those chops. Just take the best player on the board and get on with your life. Sean and Marlboro, what do you got?
Hey, guys, really quick. Sashi Brown is out in Cleveland, and just because Tlaib said that he was too drunk to remember the night doesn't mean he actually was. That's just what he said. But
Sean, which story scares you more? Like, either he shot himself in the leg and knows what happened, or he was so drunk that he couldn't. Either way, which one, is either one of those things a good thing?
Or there's a third option where he shot himself and then started drinking more.
or he got shot, you know, and the whole thing was a cover for the fact that he was in a gunfight outside of a club, which is probably the most realistic possibility. Anyway.
All right, so on the Pats, do you think Belichick kind of has a hair across his ass this year and wants to make up for last offseason in the Super Bowl and goes out and truly loads up this year and actually brings in Tlaib and Sherman if the money works out because of the injuries? Or the guy from the linebacker from Buffalo wants to come here, picking up maybe not Matthew, but a guy like him that you can get cheap, like just load up, and then Bedard would have a field day at the draft because the Pats would be freed up to draft five fat guys.
So I just think they have to be in that mode where they're spending all their cap room, which they haven't been doing the last couple of years. They did, you know, this past year they spent well, but the previous three or four they hadn't. You're just in this mode where you got to. It makes no sense to bring back Tom Brady and to load up for the near term, and then start Jonathan Jones at corner when you've got guys like Richard Sherman or Aqib Talib or the guy in Washington. Why am I blanking on his name?
Josh Norman.
Like that. That's just dumb. If you're gonna go long term and save your money and build, you know, over the long haul, then keep Garoppolo, right? So they got to stay consistent with their philosophy. And when they push their chips into the middle of the table with Brady, I think that's set off. I mean, there's just a lot of different ramifications. They got to be plugging in guys, real players here the next couple of years, every single year. And there's two corners who are out there who want to come here, and I think would just be fabulous fits, football wise and otherwise.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was a dirty play by a sorry player. He don't do nothing. He come to the game, don't catch no passes. He come to the game to chop guys from the back. And he got the same agent as me. So when I see his ass in Atlanta, I'm going to beat his ass.
With a play like that, you saw Chris go down, and it turned that bad, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
I'm sure that really irritated
you. Yeah, it don't matter how it went. He tried to do something dirty, so that's why I'm going to beat his ass.
He likes you. You like him. He's going to be a free agent, probably. He's going to have to get released by the Broncos. He'll be out there. You want him back? Richard Sherman may get released by the Seattle Seahawks. A little different out there in that he's coming off an Achilles, so there's a health thing. But either way, I think these players might be available to you. One of them will, for sure. You want them back, and shouldn't they be in the market for these kind of guys? Shouldn't they be just in this kind of position where they're renting star players to go for that last ring? Like, that's what they have to be now. It's what they have to be. If they pull back on the money, I mean, I'm always on them for money. But, you know, like, especially now. Like, now it's got to be part of your plan. This is about now you went all in on Brady the next couple of years.
Do you think it will be?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think it started last year, and I know you think that was for Garoppolo, but either way. You know, again, I've been telling you, the last 4 years prior to last year, the 4 years running up to last year, the Patriots spent the second least amount of money in the league for 4 years. So, like, they have a little bit of catching up to do. They're due. And so they have cash reserves. Like, the only way the cap is real is when you look at it over five-year periods, right? Like, you can't overspend for five straight years. Like that, I'll give the cap people. You can't do it over a long period of time. So when you're way under for a long period of time, which is what they've been, you should be able to go over for the next. You know, I mean, you see what I'm saying? It balances out over long periods of time. So that 4 years that they spent not spending, relatively speaking, they got to make up for it. And so I hope they're in this little run where they're going to spend to catch up. And they started last year, and now you have to because Brady's age and how you manage your team. So they have to. And start at the cornerback position. Start at the corner position. There are some studs out there for you. Cam in the car. What do you think, Cam? Oh, and by the way, again, a Bruins giveaway coming up here in a few minutes. A Bruins giveaway. So stay tuned for that. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys. How we doing? So I got a couple points on Sherman. I'll make it quick. But there's a reason you need to go Sherman, and you can't go Aqib Talib, and why that would be a mistake. So number one is, in my opinion, just pure intelligence level. Aqib Talib is a goon. He's out there. He's out there to hurt people. He's not out there to be the best. He's out there to make a name for himself. Richard Sherman went to Stanford. He's a smart guy, and he's already called himself the best. He's out there to be the best and out there to win championships, which brings me to my second point. The reason Richard Sherman was such a problem in the locker room in the past little bit here for Seattle is because his coaches on that play, every Patriots fan loves that play on the goal line Butler made. But that's a terrible call, and you abandon everybody that isn't on the field who's on your team, meaning the special teams and the defense, the practice squad, the whole organization, by not giving the running back there the ball.
Yeah, no question.
Play.
Cam, right. You know, Pete lost part of his roster with that play call, and Sherman's just the kind of guy to lead the charge. So, you know, just hope that Sherman's not here for a 4th-and-2 moment, because he'll do it. If he'll do it there, he'll do it here.
Or a Malcolm Butler moment.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, that's what. So like, he's kind of within his rights. The first thing that he said, what was the first thing that he
Sherman
said?
Sherman over Tilly because Sherman went to Stanford. You know who else went to Stanford in that secondary? Jordan Richards.
I could care less where he went. I mean, I think
it doesn't mean that he's smart. Just, you know, he's that intelligent because he went to Stanford. No, yeah, he's a very smart, intelligent player, but they lack toughness. They lack swagger in that secondary. You saw it in the Super Bowl. Either of those guys would bring it. I'd prefer it to leave because you get more of that with him.
I'm with Murray. Let's not confuse the academia. You know, just because Tlaib doesn't have a Stanford degree doesn't mean he's a, you know, incapable football player on some level.
Right, I don't care about that. I care about football intelligence. I think Sherman has the other kind, but I just care about football intelligence. To me, that's not it. The first thing he said about Tlaib's out there to hurt people, there's a wild card element with Tlaib where he's going to get himself thrown out of a game, needlessly. I mean, the chain thing is one thing. Like, and again, and part of it is so endearing to Tlaib. He's just so genuine. You know, it's just like, it doesn't matter that he's in the NFL and making $11 million a year. He has the street thing. Like, it's just...
I mean, it's the most... I've explained it before. On the streets and in, like, the hip-hop community, stealing another man's chain is about the most emasculating thing you can do to another guy. And he did it twice.
It's so real.
He's best. A badass.
Okay, but there was also... Was it the Super Bowl? Was it... What game was it where he face-masked someone early in the game and he stayed in the game? They only gave him a 15-yard penalty. They should have thrown him out. But he just about, you know... twisted the guy's head back in its...
It was a Super Bowl. I think it was a Super Bowl against Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's a little bit of a loose cannon. See, I think they could use some of that, too.
Of course they
I
could.
I love everything about... Like, I like his body. I like that, the you know, he's sort of wiry. I think that's hard to play against. He's, you know, he feels faster and tougher to me than Sherman is. And I'm not saying Sherman isn't those things. I just think Aqib Talib's off the charts in those areas.
Ben in Rhode Island, what do you got for us, Ben?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? I mean, is anybody calling in and saying they shouldn't be targeting these guys? I mean, did they watch the Super Bowl? Of course they should. I mean, I'd probably take Tlaib just because of the injury, but to Sherman. But, I mean, the question should be, hey, do you think you can stop Nick Foles? Great. Welcome aboard. But my question is, what is the latest you're hearing about Brandon Cooks? Because the more I think about that deal from last year, giving up a first-round pick, and now they might trade him away. You know, 4 days before they did that last year, the Eagles got Alshon Jeffrey for nothing but a one-year $14 million deal. So what are they going to do with him now?
If Cooks, I do nothing. I don't extend him. I don't give him a new contract. I also don't cut him. I would trade him for, you know, I mentioned this earlier. Jarvis Landry just got franchised in Miami. What's the receiver franchise tag? It's probably like 15, 16?
I think it's $14 million, I think they said 14. On Landry, yeah.
Okay, so you have 1 year left at Cooks at like $9 million, and Landry's on a one-year franchise tag at $14. I mean, would you trade Cooks for Jarvis Landry straight up?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
In a second, I would. I think Jarvis Landry is perfect for the Patriots.
Okay, so I would trade Cooks for equal value coming back, but I wouldn't just ditch him, like Ben Volen, you know, suggested. Like, I wouldn't release him. I think Cooks got better as the year went on. I think he showed well in that Jacksonville game, and I think there's still upside there. And you gave up a first-round pick.
I was just going to say, they can't cut him.
You've got to wait for return on investment.
They can't cut him. They gave up a first-round pick. They're going to hold him for 1 year, lose the Super Bowl, and let him go?
Please.
No chance.
Don't do that.
No, like, to me, you've got to ride that one out. I don't like the idea of giving him an extension either, but you know what the landscape was when you acquired the player. You were probably going to have him for 2 years, and the second one was going to cost you more.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.